we present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Episode 3, Eileen.
Steve, listen. Run back to the club and phone for an ambulance, then find out if there's a doctor
Temple,
in
the... don't. It's too late. I...
Do as I say, Steve.
No. No, wait. Listen, there's something I want to tell you. Do you know that man? The one that was killed, Mark Kendall?
Yes.
You thought he had an appointment with Chris Boy, didn't you?
Yes, we did. It was in his diary. Appointment with CB.
I'm the man he had the appointment with, Temple. I'm CB.
You are?
Chunky. Brooks. Everybody calls me Chunky.
Paul, what's happened?
He's dead.
Oh, no.
Steve, listen. You know Sir Graham's number. Go back to the Manila and phone him. Tell him exactly what's happened. If you can't get Sir Graham, get through to the yard.
Yes, all right, Paul.
There's no need for you to come back here, Steve. When you phone Sir Graham, pick up a taxi and go back to the flat.
No, I'll come back, darling. Don't worry. I'll be all right.
Now do as I tell you, Steve. I'll see you later. Is that enough soda, Sir Graham?
Yes, that's fine.
There you are.
Thank you. I'm terribly worried about Brooks Temple. I'd always looked upon him as being completely trustworthy. Admittedly, he was extravagant as far as expenses were concerned, but we never doubted his integrity.
Well, I can only tell you what he said, Sir Graham.
He said that he had an appointment with Mark Kendall, that he was the CB referred to in the diary.
Yes.
There's no doubt in your mind that's what he did say.
No.
There's no doubt, Sir Graham. I heard it as well as Paul.
What exactly did Brooks do? Was he attached to your department?
Yes. In rather a curious position, Temple. He started with us about 7 or 8 years ago. He had quite an unimportant job to start with. And then one day Superintendent Henson asked him to investigate the activities of a certain nightclub. We'd been having trouble with this particular club and we wanted a detailed report of what was going on behind the scenes.
Mm.
Brooks got it for us. In fact, he made a howling success of the assignment. And since then, we've used him almost continually as a contact, a sort of...
man about town.
Exactly. I was very fond of Brooks Temple. I'm terribly sorry this happened.
Yes, I can understand that, but it does rather look as if he was mixed up in this affair, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, though I may be dense, I don't quite see how all these pieces fit together. Take Kendall, for instance.
Mm.
Kendall was quite obviously mixed up in the counterfeit racket, and yet it was Kendall who broke into your flat. Now, why on earth should he do that? Was he looking for something? If he was, then it must have been the watch chain.
I'll go.
That's precisely what I said this afternoon, Sir Graham. Shall I tell you what I think? I think this Portland affair, the murder of Archie Brooks, and this business about the watch chain are part and parcel of the same case.
You think it all ties up with the counterfeit racket?
I do. And I'm convinced that we'll never smash that racket until we've solved the mystery of the penny and revealed the identity of Madison. Who is it, darling?
Paul, it's Inspector James.
Oh, hello, Inspector. Come in.
Thank you. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I don't think we've met before, Mr. Temple.
No, I don't think we have. Can I get you a drink, Inspector?
No, thank you, sir.
Well, have you finished?
We've finished with the car, sir. It's been photographed from more angles than Greta Garbo.
Did you find anything?
It rather looks to me as if he was attacked in the mews, sir, and then crawled to the car on his hands and knees. His clothes were in a pretty bad condition.
Do you think he knew that it was my car?
I very much doubt it, sir.
How far is the mews from where the car was parked?
About 30 yards. It's a cul-de-sac. I can't imagine what Chunky was doing down there.
Was Brooks a friend of yours, Inspector?
I don't think I'd exactly call him a friend, sir. I knew him a little better than most people at the yard because we once did a double act together at a police concert.
What did you do, James? Song and dance?
No, sir. I did impersonations. Brooks was the song and dance man. And very good he was, too. It's a shame about Brooks, sir.
Yes.
Have you any idea what time he left the Manila?
He must have left while you and Mrs. Temple were in the phone box, sir. The commissionaire said he saw you leave about 4 or 5 minutes after Brooks.
And he told us he intended to drop in and see his sister. Whether he was pulling our leg or not, I don't know.
Brooks hadn't got a sister, sir. He was an only child. He'd plenty of lady friends, though. That's probably what he meant.
Where did he live, James?
He had a flat in Whitedown Gardens. That's just off the Cromwell Road. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way there now.
Well, take a good look at the place. Go over it with a tooth comb, if necessary.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind if I went along with you, Inspector?
Well...
No, that's all right, Temple.
I'd be very pleased to have you, sir.
Fine. I'll get my things. Oh, you've got a car, I take it?
Yes, sir.
Steve, I'll get Charlie to pick my car up first thing tomorrow morning.
All right, darling.
We've taken it to the garage, sir. The one opposite the Manila.
Oh, good. I'll see you at the lift, Inspector.
Can we drop you, Sir Graham?
No, thank you. I've got my car.
Here it is. After you.
Thank you. Which button do I press?
The last but one. The bottom one's for the basement.
Oh, yes, I... What's happened?
I'm going up. There must be someone on the floor above.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought the lift was empty.
That's all right. You just caught us in time.
Yes?
We were just going down.
Oh.
Do you want the ground floor?
If you please.
My name is Temple. Have you taken Major Hartley's flat?
Yes. I moved in a few days ago. The day you came back from America, Mr. Temple.
Oh.
My name is Dr. Elsick.
Yeah, we've got the flat underneath yours, Doctor. Drop in for a drink one evening.
Oh, thank you.
We shall be delighted to see you.
That's very kind of you.
Did you say Dr. Elsick, sir?
Yes.
Haven't we met before somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Sorry, I thought we had.
After you, Doctor.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
It's all right, sir. I'll close the gates.
Do you know that fellow?
I've seen him somewhere before, but I'm dashed if I can place him.
Was the name familiar?
No, that's the extraordinary part about it. I don't think his name's Elsick at all. In fact, I'm sure it isn't.
Then what is it?
I don't know. So he's just moved in here?
Yes, he's taken the furnished flat. It belongs to a Major Hartley. Hartley's with the Foreign Office. He's been transferred to Washington.
Hmm. I wish I could remember where I've seen the fellow. Elsick. I'm sure that's not the name.
I think there's someone coming.
Not before time.
Who lives here, do you know?
A chap called Scaly owns the place. Brooks has the top floor. Good evening. My name is...
What the devil do you think you're doing, man? Knocking on the door like that? Why, for goodness sake, don't you use the bell?
Where is the bell?
It's right under your nose, man. It's staring you in the face. There! You see? It's quite unnecessary to be making all that noise.
Are you Mr. Scaly?
I am.
Well, I'm a friend of Mr. Brooks.
Then I wish to goodness you'd have a word with your friend. Would you mind telling the gentleman to stop his fancy ladies from ringing up? There hasn't been a moment's peace in this house. His phone's been ringing since 7 o'clock this evening.
Yes, well, don't worry, Mr. Scaly. From now on, that's a thing of the past.
What do you mean?
I'm afraid Mr. Brooks has met with an accident.
Accident? What sort of accident?
He's dead.
I mean, I don't believe it. You're pulling my leg now. It's a joke, isn't it?
No, it's not a joke, Mr. Scaly. I'm Chief Inspector James of Scotland Yard. This is Mr. Temple. May we come inside?
Yes, yes, of course. Archie Brooks, dead? I mean, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
How are things going, sir?
I've nearly finished. Was there anything in the bedroom?
Nothing of importance.
Well, there are quite a lot of papers here, Inspector, and two snapshot albums. I think you ought to go through them.
Yes, I'll take them back with me.
What time did Brooks go out, do you know?
Well, according to our Welsh friend downstairs, he went out shortly after 10 this morning. Or rather, yesterday morning.
Yes, but he must have come back to have changed into a dinner jacket.
Yes.
Is this the first time you've been here, Inspector?
Yes, it is. It's a very nice flat, isn't it?
Hmm.
You know, I reckon Brooks must have had private income. You couldn't keep a place like this going without one.
Don't touch it. Let it ring.
It's rather late for a call, isn't it? It's nearly 2 o'clock.
James, you said you could do impersonations. Do you think you could impersonate Brooks?
Chunky? Yes. Yes, I think I could.
All right. Have a shot at it.
You mean you want me to answer the telephone?
Yes. Yes, go on. I'll listen in the bedroom on the extension.
Chunky?
Yes. This is Chunky. Who's that?
Why, this is Eileen. Who did you think it was?
I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your voice.
You sound different. Is anything the matter?
No, I was asleep, that's all. Where are you? Where are you speaking from?
I'm at home. It's all right. He can't hear. He's in bed, asleep. Chunky, listen. I found out what you wanted.
Did you?
It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yes, 11 o'clock.
What?
I said 11 o'clock.
Oh.
Well, aren't you going to ask me where?
Where, Eileen?
Do you know Eppingdale?
Eppingdale? Yes, I know it. It's a village about 12 miles from Tenterden.
That's right. Well, there's a farm called Foxdale Farm. It's in the meadow about a mile and a half from the village.
No.
Did you hear what I said?
No. I'm afraid I didn't.
Oh, Chunky, darling, do try and listen. There's a farm called Foxdale Farm. It's in a meadow about a mile and a half from Eppingdale. Have you got that?
Yes.
Be there tomorrow night, Chunky. 11 o'clock.
I'll be there. Shall I see you, Eileen?
Me?
Yes.
No, no, of course you won't. Darling, what do you mean, shall you see me?
I meant some other time, perhaps.
I don't know. I've got to be careful. I've got to be very careful, Chunky.
Yes, I know.
Take care tomorrow, darling. You never know what might happen.
Well done, Inspector.
Did you hear?
Every word.
Phew. I feel like a piece of chewed string. I wondered what the devil she was going to say next. Do you think I got away with it?
Yes, you got away with it, all right.
I was dying to ask her who she was. Eileen. Eileen who, Temple?
Yes. I wonder if Scaly knows her.
There's just a chance that he might. Come along, Temple. Let's go down and ask him. Wake up, Scaly. Wake up.
Oh, it's you. I was fast asleep. Have you finished upstairs?
Yes, we finished. We're just leaving.
Mr. Scaly, was Archie Brooks friendly with a lady called Eileen?
Eileen? I can't recall an Eileen. That's a new one on me. Are you sure you've got the name right?
Quite sure.
There was a Betty, a Judy, a Phyllis, a Dora, there was a Pat. No, I can't recall an Eileen. Eileen what? What's the other name?
Yes, that's the point, Mr. Scaly. What's the other name?
Pass the toast, darling.
Hmm?
I said pass the toast.
Oh.
You're very quiet.
What do you mean, quiet? What do you expect me to be like at 8:30 in the morning? Don't be so bright.
What's the matter? You got out of bed on the wrong side or something?
I'm just annoyed, Steve.
What are you annoyed about?
I jumped to conclusions, the wrong conclusions.
About Archie Brooks?
Hmm.
Yes, I thought you had.
Why? What did you think?
Well, I thought Brooks was mixed up in this business, but I felt sure he was on the right side.
What made you so sure?
No, just intuition.
Oh, by Timothy, don't tell me that good old intuition's on the warpath again.
Well, the way things are at the moment, you can certainly do with it.
Yes, how right you are.
Who was that on the phone a few minutes ago?
The inspector. He'd just been talking to Sir Graham about last night.
Is Sir Graham going down to Eppingdale?
Yeah, we're all going. I told Sir Graham we'd dine with him and then run down in the car.
Does that include me?
Is there the slightest chance of my being able to go without you?
Not the slightest.
Then it includes you. By the way, Steve, have you seen the young fellow who's taken the flat above?
Yes. I caught a glimpse of him yesterday morning. They say he's taking it on a 6 months lease. He's supposed to be paying 30 guineas a week.
30 a week? Sure. Dr. Eltsek must have a pretty flourishing practice.
Is he a doctor?
Well, he said he was. I met him in the lift when I went down with Inspector James. James thought he recognised him.
He looks a pleasant sort of person, but he certainly doesn't look like a doctor.
Well, he'll probably turn out to be an osteopath or a chiropodist. I've asked him to drop in for a drink one evening. Oh, golly, I'm still tired.
Oh, darling, you answer that. I can't be seen like this.
No, you certainly can't.
Give me a second and I'll slip into the bedroom.
Why, hello, Green.
Hello, Temple. Sorry if I've interrupted your breakfast.
No, we've just finished. Come in.
It's a bit of an impertinence, sense dropping in like this, but I did rather want to see you, and since I was passing the door, I thought I might as well.
It's not an impertinence at all. Delighted to see you. Would you like some coffee?
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Quite sure.
Well, let me take your things.
No, I won't keep you a minute, Temple. I only dropped in because, well, I'd like you and Mrs. Temple to come to my place for the weekend. Mrs. Portland, Moira, and George Kelly are coming down. We'd like you to join us, Temple.
Well, I don't know. This weekend happens to be rather awkward. You see, we did think of...
It's awfully difficult to think of excuses, isn't it? Especially on the spur of the moment.
It's not that, but... Look, Green, why are you inviting us? Let's face it, we're not exactly friends, are we? Barely acquaintances.
Shall I be frank, Temple?
I would prefer it.
The first time I saw you at Southampton, I said to myself, now, there's a man I would like to get to know. An intellectual, but at the same time a man of action. It's a combination I've always admired.
I thought we were going to be frank with each other.
What do you mean?
The first time you met me, you thought I was a confounded nuisance. So far as you were concerned, I was an unmitigated bore pushing my nose into an affair which didn't concern me.
Was that the impression I gave you?
I'm afraid it was.
Well, if you must know, I particularly want Moira Portland to come down to my house this weekend. We've quite a lot of family business to discuss, and without Moira, the whole thing would be quite pointless.
Yes, you told me that last night. You said she wouldn't accept your invitation unless you included the boyfriend.
Moira telephoned me this morning. She said we could expect her on one condition.
And what was that?
That you and Mrs. Temple were invited.
But why on earth should Moira Portland insist that my wife and I spend the weekend with you? We barely know the girl.
I asked her that. She said that if you came down for the weekend, she'd feel quite sure that nothing unfortunate would happen.
Nothing unfortunate?
Oh, didn't I tell you? She's under the impression that her life's in danger. Apparently she's been under that impression for weeks now. It's almost a joke at the office.
Do you think her life's in danger?
Of course not. Why should it be?
Where is your place, Green?
Oh, it's just outside Leatherhead. Quite a nice little place. I've got about 100 acres.
Oh, it does sound a nice little place.
Temple, I'm sorry to have issued this invitation in such an unorthodox manner, but the fact is I'm in rather a hole. I've got to please Mrs. Portland and at the same time keep on friendly terms with Moira. It's not easy.
I'm quite sure it isn't. And how does George Kelly fit into the picture?
Well, as you know, Kelly was Portland's secretary. He now appears to have taken on the job of financial advisor to Mrs. Portland. In short, he's making a damn nuisance of himself.
It does sound a jolly little house party.
It certainly could do with an uplift, if that's what you mean.
What do they call your place?
Oh, it's called Brown Acres. It's just off the main road, about 2 miles this side of Leatherhead. Why?
You can expect us on Saturday. We'll be there in time for lunch.
Well, that's jolly sporting of you, Temple. I appreciate it. What made you change your mind?
Well, the first time I saw you at Southampton, Mr. Green, I said to myself, now there's a man I would really like to get to know.
Take it steady, Temple.
Are you nervous?
Well, we're not in a desperate hurry. It's only just gone 9.
Where are we meeting Inspector James?
I said we'd pick him up at the crossroads near Tenterden. It's about 10 miles this side of Eppingdale.
When did he go down there?
I sent him down this morning.
Was that a good idea?
I think so. James is a good man, Temple. He's discreet.
Is he alone?
No, he took a Sergeant Carver down with him. Carver's a tough bird. There's nothing he likes more than a spot of action.
I remember Carver. He was with us on the Gregory affair.
Yes, that's right.
Have you heard from the inspector?
He phoned through to the yard about 3:30 this afternoon, but unfortunately I was out. He didn't leave a message. I say, it's looking rather stormy, isn't it?
Doesn't look too good.
What's this place called?
I think this is Biddenden.
Yes.
Ooh, did you see that?
What?
It was lightning, wasn't it, Steve?
Yes, I think it was. Ooh! You'd better put the window up, Sir Graham.
No.
By Timothy, it's certainly coming down.
Ooh! Did you see that, darling? Again?
Yes.
Don't you like lightning, Steve?
I'm crazy about it.
We ought to be somewhere near the crossroads.
I'm not so sure we're on the right road.
Slow down, darling. There's a signpost.
Can you see, Steve?
It says something about Tenterden, but I can't see what the...
What is it, Steve?
What is it?
There's someone in that hedge, Paul. Look, just past the signpost.
Where?
I don't see anyone.
She's right, Sir Graham. Look.
Yes. Is it Inspector James?
I shouldn't think so.
It's probably a tramp sheltering from the rain.
Put your window down, Steve.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Is that you, James?
Let's have a look, Temple.
The fellow's asleep by the look of things.
Temple.
Yes. Let's turn him over.
He's been stabbed, look.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened to Chunky Brooks, Temple.
Exactly. It's even the same sort of knife.
Paul? What is it? Darling, what's the matter?
Don't let Steve see him. Quickly, Temple.
Go back to the car, Steve.
What's happened?
It's Inspector James. He's been murdered. Good evening, Sergeant.
Oh, you gave me quite a turn, Mr. Temple. I wanted to know who the devil it was. Good evening, sir.
You know my wife, Sergeant Carver.
Evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Sergeant.
Is that Foxdale Farm?
Yes, that's it, sir. At the bottom of the meadow.
You've picked a pretty good observation point.
Oh, yes, I had a good scout round. You can see pretty well everything from here, sir. Did you pick the inspector up, sir?
Yes, we picked him up. He's with Sir Graham.
Well, how did you get down here?
I parked my car at the top of the lane. As a matter of fact, we've had a job finding you. We've been strolling around for the past half hour.
Well, I told the inspector I'd be here, sir. Isn't he with you?
No. What time did he leave you, Carver?
About 7:45.
Have you been up here all day?
Off and on. Got here about 10:30 this morning. I suppose the inspector told you the farm's deserted.
How do you mean deserted? Doesn't anyone live there?
No, ma'am. A doodlebug hit it during the war and it's been derelict ever since. The land's farmed by a man called Fenby. He lives the other side of Tenterden.
Oh. Have you seen anyone?
Well, not a soul.
Anything suspicious?
Nothing, sir. Are you sure this isn't a wild goose chaser?
I don't think so, Carver. James was murdered. We found his body in a ditch the other side of Tenterden.
What? Good Lord, no, sir. You're joking.
I'm not joking, Carver. He was stabbed.
But it seems incredible, sir. He was here at 7:00. We were together. We sat over there on that bank and smoked a cigarette.
Carver, listen. Did anyone see you this morning? Did you stop in the village on the way down here?
Oh, yes. We stopped at a cafe in the High Street and had a cup of coffee.
What time would that be?
Well, about 10:00. Of course, the inspector made a trip into Eppingdale this afternoon. I believe he made a phone call.
Yes, I heard about that phone call. Unfortunately, he... What's that?
It's a plane.
Well, there he is. Look. He's flying pretty low, isn't he? What the devil's he trying to do?
What time is it?
I make it just gone 11.
Yes. It's just about 5 minutes past. Good Lord, do you think this is it, sir? Do you think this is what we've been waiting for?
I don't know.
It looks to me as if he's trying to come down.
Yes.
I've got a hunch he's looking for something.
He's probably expecting a light.
Yes. I don't see one.
He's coming down, Paul.
He's going to land in the meadow.
Why, Timothy, that won't be easy.
He's nearly down.
Yes, he's made it all right.
Why, Timothy, this fellow knows his stuff. That's about the best...
Paul!
He's going to hit the bank.
Come along, son.
It's hopeless, sir. We'll never get near it.
The heat's terrible.
Oh, the whole thing must have just disintegrated.
Oh, Paul!
Don't get too near, Steve.
Paul, can't we do something? We can't just stand here and watch.
It's too late, Steve. There's nothing we can do. Now, you stay here, Sergeant. I'll drive back into Eppingdale and see Sir Graham.
Yes, all right, sir.
We should be back in about 30 minutes.
Very good, sir.
Come along, Steve. What's that you've got?
I've just picked it up. It must have been thrown from the plane.
What is it?
It's a key ring. The keys are buckled, but there's a penny on the ring, darling.
Penny?
Yes. It's rather bent.
Let me have a look at it.
Well?
It's the same one that Sam Portland had.
What do you mean?
It's the same date, Steve. 1919.
Hello, Temple. Welcome to Brown Acres.
I'm afraid we're a little on the late side, Green. We didn't leave town till just after 11.
Nonsense. You're in perfect time. Delighted to see you, Mrs. Temple.
Hello, Mr. Green.
Leave your things in the car, Temple. My man will take care of them.
Oh, thank you. My word, it's quite a place you've got here.
I think you'll like it.
Have all your guests arrived?
Yes, they're all here, including Moira. I'm glad to say she's behaving herself for a change.
What a lovely terrace.
Do you like it?
It looks heavenly.
I'm quite proud of Brown Acres, Mrs. Temple. It'll be a pleasure to show you around. Now, would you like to go to your room straight away, or would you like a drink? Oh, come along. Let's join the others on the terrace. I'm sure you're both dying for a drink.
Oh, you're crazy, Stella. How can you say Americans haven't got a sense of humor? Did you say Thurber hadn't got a sense of humor? George Kaufman? Now you take the Marx Brothers.
No, darling, you take the Marx Brothers.
Are you still lecturing, George?
Well, Stella's just been telling us. Why, hello, Mrs. Temple. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kelly.
Hello there.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
I'm fine. I think you know Mrs. Portland?
Yes, of course. How are you, Mrs. Portland?
I'm quite well, thank you.
And Mrs. Green?
I don't believe...
No, I don't think you've met my wife, have you, Temple? Darling, this is Mr. and Mrs. Temple.
Hello, Mrs. Temple. Delighted to meet you. It's awfully nice of you both to join us for the weekend.
It's awfully nice of you to ask us.
We've been looking forward to it.
Do sit down.
What would you like to drink?
May I have a gin and French?
Yes, of course. Mr. Temple?
Scotch?
A man after my own heart.
Isn't it a heavenly view, darling? Mm. Do you like it?
Oh, I think it's wonderful, Mrs. Green. Oh, please, not Mrs. Green.
For some obscure reason, my wife dislikes being called Mrs. Green. I've never discovered why.
Darling, don't be silly.
But it's true, my dear.
Nonsense. None of my friends call me Mrs. Green, you know that. It's always Eileen.
That was the third episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Emma Curry, Richard Greenwood, Robin Lang, Eliza Langland, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.